It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde time here on the Homer Hour. I'm Alex Stroph in for Homer tonight alongside the, what we have determined, six-time Emmy Award winner, John Anderson. Taking some time on his vacation to hang out with us.
You've shorted me one now. Now if you're going to make that out, you've shorted me one. Seven.
Oh, it is seven. You said six initially. You're right. But you got one for the Boston Marathon, which made it seven.
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
Well, don't. We're going to bring it up. Let's get it right.
No, you're right. I mean, we all pretend to be journalists around here, especially you and Jason. Uh-huh. And, you know, journalists deal in fact. Seven-time Emmy Award winner John Anderson is now joined by the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. I know that one's right because he hasn't re-upped his membership in a few years and he's not to four yet. Jason, how are you?
We all pretend to be journalists? Is that what you just said?
I was going to ask, like, are we just playing here or what's the story?
Oh, you guys caught that. Okay. I thought that one was going to fly under the radar.
Well, I'm not going to let that slide. But yes, I have not rejoined that group and I'm not willing to pay people to vote for me. I think three is enough, but I do think that if I were to strong arm some of my great teammates, both at GKB and at Morgan Murphy Media, I think I'd have an opportunity to maybe I could stuff the ballot box and become the first one to ever win both broadcaster of the year and sports writer of the year. And then that would just show you what a total, I don't want to say anything negative in case I ever win again. So anyway, how are you guys?
Okay. So you really enjoyed those awards. That's great. That's great. We're okay. We're okay. I was explaining to John our state of the Packers program. We were kind of just thinking, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks out from training camp, where our heads at? And, you know, I think you and I went through it enough on Saturday, but good team, not great team. And, you know, hopefully some of these guys evolve into superstars. That was kind of my main takeaway. Same as yours, Jason.
Yeah. And I was just talking to Jim, Matt, and Molly a little while ago, on ESPN Madison. And, you know, we were talking about the NFC North and I'd be curious if you guys, whose opinions I value, would agree with what I said to them, which is all four of the teams in the NFC North are, and they're not playing the Fox River Classic Conference this year. They're playing the AFC North instead of the AFC South. But all four of those teams have what I've considered to be significant question marks, right? I mean, the Lions, the question mark. While they are getting a bunch of their injured guys back, which is really important, and I don't think that should be undersold because they were devastated on defense with the injuries last year, which I think was their undoing more so than Jared Goff or any other factors. But obviously when you lose two coordinators to head coaching jobs, we saw what happened in Philly. You know, that was an uneven season after they went to the Super Bowl with Sirianni. And they ended up having to replace those coordinators. And once they got the coordinators right again, you know, they went and won a Super Bowl. And Fangio's still there, but they lost Kellen Moore to the Saints job now. You know, I want to know how good of a coach Dan Campbell is and how effective the kneecap biting is with the next group of coordinators. So that's the question with the Lions. With the Vikings, it's obvious, right? KOC is a really good coach. I think we all agree. What he did with Sam Darnold was awesome. Is he going to be able to do that with J.J. McCarthy? Is J.J. McCarthy that good? The weaponry they have there, is he going to be good enough? If he is, that's great news for them. The Packers, we've talked about it. We talked about it on the state of the Packers. Like, there are at least a dozen guys that we've all seen, including the quarterback, who are varying degrees of good but have yet to be good enough. And how good or great can those guys be and which ones are going to rise to the occasion? So all of those teams, and then obviously you've got the Bears who is Ben Johnson a miracle worker and is he going to bring out the best in a guy who had been touted as a can't-miss prospect as the number one overall pick a year ago in Caleb Williams? So those four teams all have varying degrees of significant question marks. And I'm not willing to rule out the Packers being the best of the four, but it is reliant on the head coach being better. I think by his own admission, Do you remember what he talked about at the draft when he was on stage with Tausch and me? And then what happens with the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears? So that's kind of how I view it. So they are all kind of good, but they all have question marks. And then the one that answers those question marks the best is going to win the division and be in a position to win the NFC.
And I think that's how you have to start any appraisal of any team. You see that in college. The first thing they all say is we got to win the league, right? Or our division within the league and then the league. And, yeah, if the Packers can't compete in the division, then trying to tier them into some place in the NFC or the NFL doesn't make any sense. And so I agree with where you are on those guys. I do think I'm still curious because you remember the Bears were the super trendy pick last year. And now they're the super trendy pick again
this
year.
They are every year, aren't they?
Yeah, and I don't know what they did to do all that. But here's what I have found about the offseason as we get into mid-July here, Jason, is that there's nothing happening, right? There's zero happening. To which, so fair. I am literally, I am sitting here, right? I am more, as I was sitting all day, I'm like, what am I going to talk about? I'm like, you know what? I really want to talk about you. Like, I want to know what your pre-training camp thing is. Like, how do you get yourself ready to go through this every single day, right? It's easier now. You don't have three workouts to worry about. Like, do we make sure we have to get vacation time done by July 10th? Like, how do you get yourself ready for covering a training camp, even though you've done 25 of them?
Yeah, look, I don't. I mean, I really, like, here's the thing, and I've said this a bunch, like, you know, I didn't have the greatest relationship with my father, but I respect the fact that he worked in a factory for 40 years where it would get to be 125 degrees in the summertime, and that's hard work. My good friend Dr. Dave Margolis at Children's helps save kids from cancer. That's a hell of a lot more important than what I do. So, you know, I don't, you know, I do, I took 2 days off last week. I'm taking 2 days off from the show again this week, although I'm still doing our other shows, just to try and get my life in order. But like, this ain't rocket science. John Williams, their seventh round pick, actually does have a degree in rocket science. So, you know, he's going to be doing some cool stuff someday after his football career is over. But like, yeah, I want to make sure I recharge the batteries a little bit, but you know, I posted something on social media the other day too. Like, I'm just so perhaps unhealthily invested in Maddie and Sid that my life basically revolves around my kids, my wife, my dog, and my job. And so nothing really changes. I will say from a work perspective, like, I think I want to help people get ready for camp, so I do this countdown of the 20 most important Packers. I think it gives our shows some fodder to work with. I'm going to start my position-by-position previews. The first one will run on Sunday morning at Channel 3000. So that's kind of how I get into the mindset. But to your point, like, I would never, ever, ever have been able to do this back if today's training camp looked like it did. My first training camp was 97. So I joined the beat midway through the 96 season when they won the Super Bowl. So this will be season 30 in terms of vested veteran years and training camp 29. And that counts the one where we all had to sit in our own section of Lambeau Field to watch practices in 90 degree temperatures with masks on. Because of COVID. So, you know, I want to get into that mindset. I have all kinds of story ideas that I'm excited about. But again, this is not some arduous task like it was, to your point. Like, I was proud because I was single. I had no life. I had no girlfriend. I didn't mind being in Green Bay and eating on the State Journal's dime every night. I covered 51 practices a training camp. I was the Iron Man. I was like Brett Favre without the Vicodin and allegedly stealing money from poor people. So I loved training camp back then. I had nothing else going on. But now I got a lot of other stuff going on, so I'm glad there's 13 open practices to media and fans, and then there's another handful of days where we have access and fans don't. That is plenty of a workload, but it still ain't that much.
So I didn't mean to chuckle when you mentioned the doctor friend, but my sister is a nurse. And so every once in a while I call her and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I just came back from a track meet, blah, blah. And I'm like, how are you? She goes, I'm just saving lives and, you know, giving kids vaccines that will save their lives. I'm like, okay, well, but did I tell you I was on TV for 3 minutes? Right. So like, you know what that is, right? Like I do always think, and I always hate, that's one of the things I hate in journalism. When something bad happens, I go, oh gosh, I always hope, boy, now we really, you needed that to put it in perspective. Like if you need some tragedy to put it in perspective, you have been really warped before you got to that spot. I hate, it's the worst cliche when they do that. Well, that really puts everything in perspective. No, like you should be taking care of Maddie and Sid, and you shouldn't need an airplane crash to put
right
in perspective when you go through that.
And look, I want to make sure I'm clear here. I think what we do matters. Like, I don't want to sure. down. Like, what I learned during COVID, for example, I learned a lot of things about it during COVID.
Sure
but
did,
one
yeah.
of them was, like, Tausch and I, we had authentic value. Like, we gave people for 3 hours a day something to entertain them, right? Like ESPN releasing, because I know this from my experience with Sid, them releasing The Last Dance, like she got to hear a lot of the words that Paula says all the time, which was a little bit problematic. I'm kidding. She only swears a little bit. But like that was a great bonding thing for us, right? Like we needed that during that time. And so what we do has value. I think giving people information about the teams they care about has value. I'm not saying it doesn't, but like, as you point out with your sister, like my mom was a nurse. She was an ER nurse in Milwaukee at St. Luke's Hospital. The stuff she saw was serious life or death stuff. Right. And on top of that, it also made her, which is probably where I get it from, a total helicopter parent, like worried about all the kind of bad stuff that can happen. Right. So, look, I'm not shorting what you and I and Strofe and everybody on our team and everybody at Channel 3, like what we do matters. What's going on right now in Texas and the storytelling that people are doing for those families, that does not bring those girls back, but you know that there are people that just want their daughter's story told to make them feel a little bit of tiny little bit of comfort in this gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching time, right? And so what we do does matter, but I don't want to sit here and make it sound like I'm just doing these gargantuan. Oh, my God. That's why Tausch and I make this joke on our show all the time about thank you for your service. And I try to explain
it. I've been on the end of that and always feel good about it.
Right. And I always – and I want to make sure – you know, I've said it a million times now, but I'll say it again for, you know, veterans that haven't heard me say it, like that is a facetious statement, because when we say it to you for your risking your life for our freedom, that's authentic. Yeah. When I do it because, hey, oh God, Wilde went on Jim, Matt and Molly and Homer with Strofe and Anderson on his day off. That's a thank you for your service. Cause I talked to you on my drive to PetSmart. Like that is not heroic. So that's kind of, this has turned into an Inside Wisconsin episode, but this is what I mean. Like, I do think that what
that's
we
okay.
do, I hope people understand that, like, again, you know, I had this thing at, I told the story about going to Woodman's and Brad, who's a member of their management team, who's an avid listener to the show, bailing me out of nowhere when I was 17 cents short and had no functioning ATM cards to pay the 17 cents that I still owed. Like the fact that there's people that this actually matters to, like the fact that our show was mentioned in someone's obituary that passed away, and they're one of their favorite things that their family felt it was worth mentioning in their obituary was how they listened to our show every day. I mean, you want to talk about things that are humbling. That's humbling. And so I hope people, you know, I didn't mean to turn this into some sort of soliloquy or sermon here, but the bottom line is we all know how good we've got it, and we are extremely appreciative of what we get to do. And I will tell you this, John Anderson gave me more laughs when he was on SportsCenter, not as many as he gave me when I would watch Wipeout, but you are one of the all-time greats, and I love the fact that now you're not some guy I watch on TV, but you're one of my friends, and I'm appreciative of that.
That's very kind of you, but I've always likened to this when people ask, as long as we're on this and goodbye Packers and we're on kind of this thing, because I think it's important. I think the views of it are. I've said this all the time. My dad, who was an unbelievable Packer fan, started going to the games when he snuck under the fence as a kid at City High Stadium and eventually had a club seat. Like, you want to talk about going from the bottom to the top, right? That was kind of his thing. Hmm. But I always saw it. I always think of people that are sports fans, like my dad thought about his gardening, which was, I got home from work and I'm going to go to the garden and relax and I'm going to plant. And yet every day he worried if it was going to rain or if it wasn't going to rain. Is it too hot? It's not hot enough. So like, this was ostensibly his relaxation, and yet he was so totally invested in it. Every day we had to watch the weather guy, what's going to happen. And then of course my dad had been around Green Bay for 60 years. He could just turn and look in the east and go, yeah, there's no rain in that cloud. I don't care how dark it is. It's going to be fine. Because there are guys like that with that experience. They've lived around town to know. You don't need a farmer's almanac. You just need my dad to go, yeah, that's going to go the other way. But I think that's how people view sports. It is their relaxation. It is their outlet. And yet they are unbelievably invested in it, unbelievably concerned about it. And it makes a huge impact in their life. So, yeah, I don't diminish what my sister does. She's exactly right. All I did today was save a few lives. I hope you did okay with the box score and that sacrifice punt. But, you know, but it is amazing how many people are invested in that. And so that when you are sitting at training camp, because people do want to know the 53 as there are 90 guys sitting there. And so I don't. And so that's like curious about, like, when you go to training camp, you're like, okay, I got to have a list of 20 questions that I want to answer, because I think when we all do this, right, at some point we're reflecting our audience. The questions I ask are the questions I think people who want to watch us or listen to us want to know. And so as you prepare for training camp, that's what I said. I thought, okay, I wonder what you do. Like, how do I have a list of things? I'm going to need to have this answer. This position battle is going to be really intriguing. So I'm going to make sure I'm watching that every day. And those are the kind of things I wonder as you get ready to go into these things. And I remember that going up with Bartles and Flagstaff that I found really interesting to get ready for as we started, because literally you're like, there's nothing happening right now. And that's what my job is to be ready for those kind of things.
Yeah, and I would just say this so you can get back on the clock or too late.
Too late.
The storylines going in, I think we all know, it's the storylines that develop over that month that I'm really curious about. Like, who's the guy that comes out of nowhere? Like, the Tremont Williams story in 2007 remains one of the all-time greatest stories. I just remember him being interviewed after he had an interception against Favre on Family Night, and him taking the microphone from Tim Van Voren every time he would answer a question, because he'd never been interviewed before during his time at Louisiana Tech. I mean, he didn't know that he wasn't supposed to grab the mic. So, yeah, I can't wait. You know, I'm enjoying my downtime, but it is. I am also looking forward to what exactly I'm going to be talking about and writing about starting essentially 2 weeks from today. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I leave you with this? We're up in Flagstaff. We're watching the Cardinals, and every day is 2 days, 2 days, 2 days. And all of a sudden they cancel the Friday afternoon. All they're going to do is lift weights. We're going to work out in the morning and lift weights. And the guy said, what happened? And I said, well, it appears to me we're just one a day plus iron. And it's still, I feel like, one of the top 10 things I've ever said on television. So just put that in your back pocket if it ever happens. One a day plus iron.
Do I have to cite you? Because Tausch is a stickler for citing.
He's been big on it recently. That's true.
It's in the general public. As Boomer would say, it's off the Pluto now. Whatever. Just do it.
Wow, that was a great place to end it. My goodness.
Indeed.
That's pretty good.
Well, Jason, thank you for your service.
You're welcome for my service, boys. Take care. Be good.
That's the great Jason Wilde. You can catch him each and every weekday from 9 to noon with Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher, who's a stickler for citations, apparently, on Wilde and Tausch. John and I will talk a little
you
Brewers.
You pretended to do this. What the hell? What do you care?
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. I did pretend to do this. I just sat here. That's all I did. We'll talk Brewers next. It's the Homer Hour, ESPN Wisconsin.